more you know him, the more you let him into your life, the more you never want him out of your life. Amen? Somebody this week evidently blamed God for what happened this week, and I thought, I think they're just, we just leave it there. But I would tell you that there is a void with God. You know, we remove God from so many places and so many things that I just think other things would fill in the void there. And God had nothing to do with that. But we need to let God into more places, especially at our home with our children, saying grace with our children, telling our children about the things that God has blessed us with all our lives, the miracles that He performed, the things that He did for us when we were 20, when we were 30. We need to tell them more about that God so that they can have that God in their heart. And when an unbeliever comes along and starts talking about God in the Bible, we know that's what they think and that's what they believe, but I know that my God is with me. Amen. Hallelujah. This song touches me a lot. My daddy passed in 1980. There's not a day that I don't miss him, or if I pick up my bow and arrow or anything that I do, that we shared a fishing rod. So I love this next song, and we'll celebrate this on Father's Day to all the daddies here today. Truly did. Mom and Dad got divorced when I was a little boy. But he tried his best to love me. And I just tell you today, because we live in the flesh, we make mistakes, okay? I ask the children and I ask them today and the fathers, just give them a chance every day as a new chance to love them better, to do one thing better, to forget something in the past so that you can enjoy something in the future. Because that love that you have, that you can still share together, is so, I would give everything I have for another 10 minutes with my daddy. And so I tell you that I loved him, and I loved him through his mistakes, I loved him through the disappointments, but we have a Father in heaven who does not disappoint. And I love this church with all my heart, and I'm your pastor, that's what I am. But I fail every day, trust me, I fail. I don't want you to know everything in my life, because I don't want, God sees it, that's enough for me, amen. But I see this church so bright and so on fire and doing things for God in the way that the Bible says, and I believe that our Father in heaven will bless what we're doing if we can get out of the way of the stuff that we think we're doing to each other. I really do believe if we can just look at God in heaven, trust Him for this church, trust Him in your life, it will change everything that you ever thought, because God is a miracle working God. Amen. Give Him praise. I just wanted to say that this is the day that you can look at your son or your daughter or your father or your children and look at each other and say, look, I love you. We've had problems and we still got problems. We're going to have problems after today. But let's start today like just filling some holes in and just working in it. Amen. Right? Because tomorrow's not promised. Hallelujah. So y'all here today celebrating Father's Day with our Lord. And He's been carrying you through everything in your life. And so many times we don't say thank you. Thank you.
This is a beautiful day to be at church. You've sacrificed this morning all the things and all the plans you have, ladies, to know, I want to go see my Father in heaven. I just pray that today he touches you in a way that he has never touched you, because once that happens, nothing will be the same. You'll have problems, you'll have tribulations, but nothing will be the same when he loves you, when you know that. Let's pray to him this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the glory, and the power. Amen. Forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I want you to have joy in God's house. I want you to have peace. That peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen. That comes from knowing God and trusting God. Amen. Feeling like this is your home. Amen. You can look around and say hi to somebody today. You can look at how beautiful, and you can see the blessings that we have in this church. Amen. There's a lot of churches that are suffering, a lot of churches that are hurting, a lot of churches that have all kinds of dissension and things going on. Right here in this church, there's beauty, there's God, there's joy, and we will read his word, and we will do what the word tells us to do. Amen. And we will be victorious in this town, in this city, in this state. Amen. We'll do it with God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Isn't that beautiful? We will not hide them from our children. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. Hallelujah. Thank you. That they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Psalm 78. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We're so blessed here. And I God had to tell me, hit me upside the head. How many times we've said, oh, this is Derby, this is the Valley. Oh, my God, not much going on. We have gold here. You look around at the churches, then there's not a lot of people in the churches. Amen. That means, guess what? They're somewhere else. Amen. You go around and you don't hear a lot about God in the Valley. You don't hear a lot about God in Ansonia. Guess what? There's a lot of people hungry for that then. Amen. So we have gold right here in the Valley. We have so much gold. We just need to define. We needed to find what was missing. And I'll tell you what was missing. God's word. Not rules, not regulations, not anything. You don't... God's simple word in your life every week, every day. Amen. That's what was missing. The joy of God. Coming to church and laughing. I saw everybody laughing and singing and talking and telling everything that they did. That's the joy of the family of Christ. Amen. That's what church is all about. And I know that we have so much gold in the Valley, so much in Connecticut, that we can really light it up. Amen. The more that we do, and I always say, give it to God, do more for God. And I say, you might say, well, Pastor, how do I do that? Maybe if you just dress a little one day, you just pick up yourself a little, stand taller, do something else for God. When you're at work, don't do just what your work job is. Do something. You want to help some? Oh, you need a little help with that. Oh, can I help you with that? What can I do for you? Let people know that you're there. Let people see the spirit of you. That will draw people to you, and then the door opens wide. You need to come to our church and hear about God and hear about the joys of God and how God does exist and changes things. Amen. You need to do your work. Do your school work unto God. Do it, all the blessings that God has given you, all the talents. I was going to read a parable. Marilyn, you did it again. I was going to read a parable about God blessing people with talents. And now it was about money. But the parables are stories that you could read it every day. Every day, Marty, you could read the same parable and God will show you something different from it. Why? Because it's called the living word, Gary. This is the living word. Amen? And when you read those, you say, God has blessed us with so much. And when he comes back, and we're going to talk about the bride later, when he comes back to see, he's going to say, what did you do with all that I blessed you with? Because the church over there is not being blessed right now. They don't have the things that you have. And the state's not being blessed right now. You're being blessed. What are you doing with that blessing? How are you reaching out? How are you lighting a fire that the folks can't miss? Amen. That's what God wants to know. That's what we can do. And that's how you can give your life to God. Say, you know, I'm not going to say the things I said yesterday. I'm not going to be down and out. I'm not going to say the negative. I'm going to say the positive. Somebody asked me how I am. I'm going to tell them I'm great. I got aches and pains like everybody else, but you know what? I got a lot going for me. God's on my side. I got a future. I got hopes and dreams. Let them know that you have. If you don't tell them, how are they going to know? Amen? A little Madison, if I didn't tell her about God, who would tell her? Who are you leaving it to? And when we got the blessings here, I ask you, who are we leaving the blessings to? We have so much right here, right here, right here in this church. Look around at what we're blessed with. People who built this church. We have so much. Who are we going to leave it to? If we do nothing with it, Sergio, nothing, then people might come 20 years from now and just throw it away. Because evidently the people didn't want to do anything with it, so why should we? But this is our time, and I'm not going to let it happen. Amen? I'm going to do all I can to get you so excited about God in your life that that's going to overflow, amen, from the church out. Amen? You're taking pride in your church. I don't want to pick people up, but I have to. Art and Gladys said one day, we want to do something in the yard a little more, and they made the garden. Everybody talks about the garden. Amen? And they did it not for anything else except they wanted to. It was their heart to say, I go to that church. Oh, I could do something to make it look pretty. Amen? And then we get the painting and the yard and all these things. It becomes your home. Gary, it becomes your home. And then when it becomes your home, you say, I want to do something. That's where I go to church. That's where I get fed. That's where my strength comes from. I want to do more for the church. Your church. Amen? That's how it's, you just don't hold it back anymore. Amen? And do that in your home with your husband and your wives. Anybody ever fight with your wife or husband? I know you never. 51 years. Gene, you and Bob never? No, not Bob. No, don't. No. 55
years next Friday.
55 years next Friday. But do you walk around saying what's wrong with your partner, or do you walk around saying what can I do to fix what I think I'm doing wrong so maybe something else? You see, with God you can do the impossible, and some people might think it's impossible, but I think with God all things are possible. Amen? I see it with people who love God. I see the way life, and you know, we all got to work at it every day, but I'll tell you, I promise you this, you put God ahead of everything, you put God first, you do it that way, and I promise you, you will see a change. You will see things and you'll say, boy, we had a nice day. We did nice. Let's do something else together soon because we had a nice day. You see, that's how we change the world. Amen. You change it at home. Hallelujah. Now the testimony, the news of the day. I'm a news hound. It's upsetting. Anger, sickness, doubt, fear. And let me tell you where that comes from. It comes from the devil. It comes from Satan. All that anger. I'm telling you, I watch the news and I feel, I even talk faster. I can't believe. And then I realize, I got to turn it off. I got to turn God on. I got to read a little bit. I got to talk to God. I got to talk to my wife about something else. I can't talk about that. Because all I'm hearing is hate. All I'm hearing is hate. And that reminds me that all the tools of the devil, he knows how to get you all fired up. And not only that, but brothers and sisters, guess what? We got an enemy, amen? How many know we got an enemy? It's evil. But what's happening? We're fighting with each other. I didn't do it. You didn't do it. Why are we fighting? My opinion's different than yours. Who cares? But we all want the same thing, amen? But we're fighting with each other. See, the devil wins again. Every time we start fighting with each other because we don't agree, we got to understand that that's the devil saying, you know, None of us are responsible for that. So why? We need to stand up united together and say, we want this to stop. We have to stand up strong with a flame right to heaven so that the enemy sees the flame and says, I better not go there, because if I go there, I'm going to get in trouble. Amen. We need to stand united. We can't fight with each other. And that's what the devil's having us do. And some people want us to fight not about the devil, not about the evil, but about each other. We've all of a sudden, we've become the enemy because we've forgotten God. And the news of the day makes you do that. And I tell you this, for God's testimony, the miracle of God's word, it calms you down. Amen, Gary? When you're doing your Bible study, you can't even do the Bible study at home if you're all upset. You have to calm down. But the word of God calms, it lifts you up. It heals. The word of God removes fear and doubt. It's a place to go in time of trouble. Protected. Protected. We had turkey in our backyard. We got him all the time. We had this big turkey sitting on our fence last year. And we were looking at her. And she was sitting in there. It was raining outside. We're looking at the turkey. And all of a sudden, she stood up and lifted up her feathers. And guess what? Three babies right underneath her. Protected. Under the wings of her mother. Amen? We're under the wings of God. He's got us protected, folks. We can't fight with each other. If you got a different opinion about how to cure evil, that's fine. But the thing is, don't fight with the people who love you and you love because of an opinion. We need to stand united and say, listen, we all want the same thing. We want it destroyed, and we want it destroyed now. And the only way the Bible says that we can destroy it is with unity. Standing up and showing power, not having to use it, but just showing evil that don't bother coming in here, because if you come in here, you came in the wrong place. And the more places that tell the evil that, don't come in here because you came in the wrong place, because God is in here and these people are fearing God and these people are going to stand together. Evil say, oh, I can't go in there. Well, I better not go in there. Amen? We got to stand strong and united and then talk to one another. And I bet we come up with solutions that some people that are supposed to be their job don't even think about because they're thinking about other things. Amen? Hallelujah. But you might feel weary. You might feel lost. But those times, listen, those times become shorter and shorter. And then you tell yourself this. God got me through so much. He's not going to leave me here. Can I get an amen? He's not going to leave me here. He will make a way even though I can't see a way. He will make the way. And I will just say this to you in closing for his testimony. Brothers and sisters, he always did, and he always will. Let your body be peace. Let your body fill with love. Let your body be filled with joy. Somebody says something that you don't agree with, say, that's okay. We still believe in the same thing. We still want the same thing. We still want to see God win. We still want to see our children win, our grandchildren win. I don't care what the solution is. I want God to win. Because when God wins, everybody wins. Amen. We need to start united. And again, I will say, he always did, and he always will see us through. That's his testimony. That's his testimony. Let's pray together. Lord, we just need to see you. The world is going to, the devil knows what he's doing. We don't give him any of that. But we have to be honest and say he knows what he's doing. He knows where to attack us. Not only in our home life, not in our family life, but in the world. He knows how to make who should be friends enemies. He knows how to make families break apart. We need to show families how to be healed and be united. We need to show families that God is the true way. The Bible is the teachings. The teachings of the Bible heal miraculously. Miracle working healing for our minds and our spirits. We need to see all that God has done for us and not waver, not be worried, not fretting. We could still have our opinions. God says to lean not on your own understanding. He probably loves hearing our opinions and probably just sits up there shaking his head, patting us on the top of the head like we always did with our children, saying, good, but I got a job for you to do. Go ahead and do that now. I'll take care of this. We need to see it in that light. We need to have more of God here in this church Unity like you couldn't believe. Yeah, well, the things we say and do that other people might be a little upset about, forget about them. They mean nothing. That's the devil saying, how can I get in here? No, we're going to bind them. We're going to bind them right out of here. We're going to ask God to put his angels around this church. Ask God to put his angels around your house, around your car, around your home. Ask God to fill you with so much that when the devil comes, you just shake it off and walk away. Then your life will change and the people around you will be drawn to you. Stand up. Stand up and do all you can do. When you see a job that needs to be done, just do it. Other people will see that. Other people will see your spirit, see the character, see God inside you. Hallelujah. That will be our victory every day. And as the victories get bigger, it'll change things in Derby and in the valley and in the state of Connecticut, where people will have to stop and look at this church because of what God is doing through this church, through his word, through his people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Give them church. Give them praise, church. How many realize, I know David, I know you've loved God since you talk about God all the time. Do you realize how hard it is to be a Christian? People talk about Christians like they know what it is to be a Christian. So do you have any idea how hard a walk that is every day? You say something so offensive to me and I have to smile and say, well, I love you anyway. You steal from me, I have to say, well, you know, he probably needs. I mean, to be a Christian, to have understanding, to love everybody. See, other people, oh, you're a Christian, you must hate this people or these kind of people. Because in the Bible it says, I said, no, the Bible says, I don't judge anybody, I love everybody, amen? I want everybody to come to know him, amen? I want everybody to feel like they have a way to God. I have to tell them the truth. But to be a Christian, Mike, is so hard because you have to change every day. How many want to change every day? Not me. Amen? No, I'm saying, you all know you got to change a little bit every day. You can't be the same tomorrow that you are today. Being a Christian means you're walking every day closer to who? God. You're being Christ-like. Amen? And the saddest part, brothers and sisters, and the truth, and I'm going to read it to you, some of the worst places for division are in churches. We have a friend that goes, what the kind of church doesn't matter, but he goes to another church in Tennessee, said, well, I don't believe like you believe. I said, you're reading the Bible. Amen? Well, our religion. I see, people all of a sudden, their denomination become here, and then God comes here. Amen? And so, with that silliness, we get division with the people that we should be united with, standing up together. Oh, I can't stand with you. You're a Methodist. Oh, no, you're... Do you understand what I'm saying? That we're talking about who? We're all reading from the Bible. Amen? And you wonder how that can happen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Jesus says, I am the true vine. The what? And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Hosea says this, come let us return to the Lord. For he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us. When you become a Christian, amen, sometimes you have to be torn apart. Sometimes your heart has to be torn apart because you realize that you need to fix it. So God will tear that out so that he can heal it, amen. He will take your scars and he will take them and heal them, amen. But sometimes it takes a minute that you realize. When you realize that you need God every day, you also realize that you fall short every day, amen. And we're talking about people who are talking about God. Listen, I am the vine, he said, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, but without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Listen to Jesus saying, by this my Father in heaven is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you. And I love this. This is for you. And that your joy may be full. Say that with me. That your joy may be full. How many want that? He's told us how to do it. Amen? And we're not talking about Satan here now. We're talking about people who said, I'm going to have a ministry. I'm going to preach God. But then they start preaching it their own way. Amen? They become a thorn. They become a thorn on the branch. Amen? They become a branch that doesn't produce fruit. Amen? And that branch is going to be broken off, you see, because all of a sudden they started preaching something other than the Word of God. Amen? They started telling people, this is acceptable and that is acceptable. When the Word of God says, no, not in my house, it's not acceptable. Amen? Not the sinner, but the sin. Amen? Because if we ever had to have a church full of people who never sin, then every church in the world will be completely empty. Amen? But he is saying, God, as Jesus is saying, I am the root, my Father and I, the tree, and all of us are branches. And if we start preaching anything other than God, what's going to happen? The branch is going to break off, wither, and die. It's going to be burned. Amen? So he's talking about churches. Churches that are supposed to be talking about Jesus and the Word of God, preaching other things. Other things, making other rules, other regulations. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Let me read one more so then we can, this is right to the back of the Bible, Deacon Gary. We're going right to the end. I love this. A lot of folks read, where's Sergio? God is saying, behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book. What is this book? Hallelujah. Now, I, John, listen to it. This is in the Bible. So listen to it. He said, I, John, said, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. How many have ever heard about worshiping angels? Blessed people teach you that. And this is, listen, then he said to me, who said it? The angel. That see that you do not do that. Say that with me. See that you do not do that. For I am your fellow servant and your brethren the prophets. And of those who keep the word of this book. And he simply says two words. Gary, what does he say? Worship God. Amen? And he said to me, do not seal the words of this prophecy to this book, for the time is at hand, and the time is at hand. And he said, he who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. He's saying, now's the time. Let people follow their own ways. Let the blind lead the blind. Don't even worry. Just come and let those holy be holy. And he said, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to eat everyone according to his works. God said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right of the tree of life and may enter through the gates of the city. I want to read something to you. This is 74 words, 5 lines. Listen to the, and I want you to remember, I'm not talking about any certain religion. Please put it in your head, but be aware that what the religions are doing, amen? God's not coming for a denomination. Can I get an amen? And I'm sorry I'm just telling you the truth, and anybody should tell you, God's not coming for a denomination. He's coming for a bride, amen? And listen to what he says here. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone who adds to these, does what? God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone who takes away, does what? From the word of the book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life from the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. If that doesn't scare you in a different kind of way, and say, man, that's right here, in closing, right there in Revelation 22:18. That's the end of the book. The end. Anybody who adds to, anybody who got all this stuff right here, we live in the covenant of grace, amen? But if somebody adds to it, guess what? He's saying, really? God is saying, you're going to add something that I don't, you know, people say, wow, there's a new guy who came out and he heard from God. I said, really? God bless you. But ain't nothing going to be added to this book, amen? Because if God wanted me to know, it'd be in this book, because all I need to know is in this book. So evidently you don't know everything that's in this book because you need something added to the book. And not only that, but God says if you add something to the book, whew. And then some of you say, and I read this, I've seen, I've studied the religions that I've studied. I read a scripture. My friend had people come into his house all the time, Gary. And he said, is it okay? I said, sure, as long as they're talking about God. And they left pamphlets. And I was reading from Romans. And I said, wait a minute. No. And I go back and open up my Bible, and there's the words Holy Spirit. I said, they left out the word Holy Spirit? I said, oh no, God doesn't give you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit just passes over the earth and falls on people once in a while, and then he goes over here. And I said, really? Your God does that? Not the God of the Bible, because the God of the Bible says we are given. In here, amen? The Holy Spirit right here in your heart, the center of your body, your core, amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The church, and this is where my heart really just wants you to understand. The other day I saw that there was a couple of buttons taken off of a cushion. I had tears in my eyes. Made me so sad. We waited years, right, Marcia? Years for the church to really get on fire. And people came to this church, and somebody thought, well, this isn't my church. This isn't really a church. And it, listen, people do what people do, and we don't judge them, but it made me hurt because this is his house. And we are his bride. This is his bride. Amen? Anybody ever see a wedding procession going out the front door and the bride comes out? What does she look like? Beautiful, right? The long, right, Madison? The long gown and the beautiful trail and the tail. God's coming back here to see that bride. We're his bride. Amen? I want him to see the heart of worship in this church. I want him to see how we've taken care of the bride, amen? How we've taken care of his house. The things that we've done for his house. Are you with me? The Bible's saying that other churches and other religions are talking about God, but they're thorns. They're branches that are going to be broken off because they've added and they've taken away, amen? But I want this house, your house, to be everything for you and everything for me so that we can shine for God. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Anybody adds, anybody takes away. The bride, when Jesus comes back. That's why I want us to do all we can do. This is our time. I don't want somebody to come 20 years from now and just take what we didn't do and throw it away. This is our chance. God said, I will bless you. I will bless you. I will bless you. Say that with me. I will bless you. He will. Don't be afraid to make this shine. Make yourself shine. Don't be afraid to use the talents that God has given you. Amen. Use those talents. Use them. Everything. The blessings. If you sing, sing. If you play guitar, play guitar. If you're a carpenter, build something. If you're anything. If you're a computer wizard, make something. If you're a songwriter, write them. Do them. And find people and get it out there. Because God said, I will bless you. I will give you the desires of your heart. But only after you take steps first. After you show me that you really want that. And that's what we're doing now. And I think Chuck and I both know that the last couple, we know now that's what we're doing. That's what we want to do. We really know it. Amen. At first we were afraid to succeed. At first we were worried. But now we're not worried anymore. Amen. Because we're going to succeed. And you're going to succeed in your life. See, that's the church. See, I can't give you just read from the Bible and just leave it at that. I got to tell you what God, I want it to be for you today. Amen. Everything. Somebody said last week, was it? He said, Scott said that, or said that it was different. Marty, was it Scott or was that Eric? Oh, no, yes, I thought, said, this church is different. I said, you betcha it's different. It's different because we're finally talking about God, amen? We're talking about us and God, hallelujah, and the Bible. Let me have five more minutes. The Bible. This is called the living word. The living word means it's alive. It's alive. Now, I can read it to you every week, Jackie. I could read it. Amen. And you might get something out of it. You might say, hey, I get that. But it's the living word. And God wants to talk to who? Hallelujah. So when you read, when who reads? When you read the living word, he talks to you. He starts talking. If you don't read it, he's saying, I like to talk to you, but I know you're talking to me and you're praying, but I want to talk to you. The living word. See, then you hear from God. You hear from God in your own head, in your own ears. Oh, really? Oh, that makes sense to me, God. I can't wait to tell my husband or my wife or my friend, hey, that makes sense. And they'll look at you like you're crazy. And you won't care. Amen? But this is the living word. Like I said, I could read it to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You just get quiet with God. Find a place, find a time, even if it's 10 minutes. It doesn't matter how long you read it, because once you start, Lisa, once you open up to something and it's interesting, you're going to find that a half hour went by and you said, wow, I can't believe that I read the Bible for a half hour. And then God starts talking to you. You see, then the fire gets a little brighter, see? And everybody's fire gets a little brighter. But it's called the living word. And how on earth can a church not tell you to read this word? Read the book, amen? You read the book because it's living, alive for you to speak to who? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It says in Hosea, actually Ezekiel, I'm sorry, it says, This sentence, then you shall know that I am the Lord God. And that simply means until we cannot deny what God is doing, not only in the life of this church, but in each heart that is being changed by this word. That revelation alone today on Father's Day, you look up to your father and you say, then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. With each revelation that you can say, I truly know that it was from God, it changes your life. Amen. Give him praise. That's our God and our Father. Hallelujah. Next week, I got a great subject for next week. I just want to share. It's called the Ministry of Helps. And it's how a church really gets stronger and how a church grows even more. Because guess who's called the minister? Raise your hands up, all of you. You're all in church listening to God's word. You're all called to be priests and ministers to God. Amen. And the Ministry of Helps is something that is so amazing in every church, and it needs it. So that we preach. We're going to... My daddy wasn't perfect. He wasn't, but I miss and love him so much. And I just, you know, your memories, and I pray that your thoughts and memories are just as beautiful as mine, because I've forgotten the wrongs that he's done. And I thank God that I was blessed. If it, maybe you had a father that wasn't what he needed to be, then you just pray that you be stronger and tell others and understanding and help others and lead them into love. Hallelujah. Just... so beautiful. On this Father's Day, we honor our Father in heaven. He gave us Jesus. His gift to us was eternity, everlasting. Life with the Lord, paradise, because of his Son that he gave to us. And he simply asks that we do this in remembrance of him in this church. In Jesus' name. Each of us are going to come to that day, that hour, that minute, that second, when you realize what we're doing right now, how beautiful a moment this is right now. And you'll look back at that minute, and then when you're face to face with our Lord, you will know that you know what you're doing today is so beautiful. Just simply remembering. And someday you'll be able to put your arms around him and thank him. And tell him face to face how much you love him. For what he did for us. You might not think other people hear you. You might not think people aren't listening. You might go to a restaurant, might not think people notice that you prayed before a meal. You might not think people notice how nice you are to the register, cash register lady. Or you're waiting in line and you get to your time, how nice you are. You might not think it. Well, let me tell you, our granddaughter's been with us now for 2.5 weeks. And she'll ask us later, why did you say this? What did that mean? What did this person do? How did that person, what song you were singing? Let me tell you, people are listening. If our granddaughter's listening the way she's listening, trust me, people are listening to what you're saying. Other people hear what you're saying. Your family hears what you're saying. Your children, your friends, your people at work. She hears everything. And songs we're singing and we don't even think she's paying attention. And then she gets in the car and she's gonna take a sentimental journey. Yep. Sergio, you might not think they hear you. But in order for them to admit that they hear you, they have to admit first that they're wrong. So that takes time. So you be the rock. When they come over, you're the rock. You don't bounce them off, you bring them in. You see, but it takes time for somebody to say, hey, I need your help. But when that happens, then they will open doors to people you can't touch. See, that's how this is going to work here in Derby. Amen? People are out there needing help. They're walking on the green. They need help. They're lost. They're not doing anything on a Sunday. They don't worship any. They're lost, and they need somebody to tell them the good news, the truth. Amen? That everybody is welcome here. Nobody's not welcome here. Everybody is welcome here. This is His house, and we need to tell them the truth. And that's how we're going to do things together with God. Right, Sam? Sam knows the Word of God. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise, church.
We had been talking about what happened in Shelton with regards to the three angels and the guy who got so upset about it and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I want to thank everybody for looking over the letter, you know, helping me revise it, because I'm just one person, and as a body we can do more. And each of you prayed, each of you contributed, and I want to say thank you. But now it's time for us to be that light, be that beacon, and, you know, show that we're united and show that we believe in God and that we're not going to have our First Amendment right taken away because someone else was offended. So let me read the letter. Yeah, it has all that formal stuff up top. Dear Mayor Laureletti, if I'm mispronouncing it, once again, please correct me. We wish to thank you for standing up and preserving the positive message of Christmas. We wish also to offer our spiritual support in the to the possible lawsuit regarding the three-angel Christmas display at the corner of Constitution Boulevard and Long Hill Ave in Shelton. We hope to see the angels displayed there again in 2016 without any negative messages nearby, distracting from the Christmas message of hope and joy. In no way do we wish to deny anyone their First Amendment right. At the same time, we wish to preserve the same rights for those who wish to spread the positive message of Christmas. The display of the angels is a sign of joy for those who need to be uplifted. This display does not force any issue upon any person. To some, it is merely a seasonal decoration, while the display... I have a typo. something more personal. One may choose to enjoy it or ignore it. The angels present a positive message, and any rebuttals only promote negativity, something that this world has too much of. Freedom works both ways, and there is not freedom at all. Typos. I'll be fixing this. Yeah, of course I see him now. If others' beliefs erase mine. Millions of tax-paying Americans from Maine to California are believers and want to enjoy Christmas with lights and trees decorated in and around their city or town. Please note the celebration of Christmas does not establish a religion, but simply acknowledges the faith of these citizens. A church may not pay taxes, but those inside certainly do. Part of protecting their First Amendment right is to protect their celebration of Christmas. America is about freedom for all. In our opinion, what Jerome Bloom is asking for would indirectly stifle our First Amendment rights by requiring public displays to include rebuttals. What next? Will every Santa be required to warn children the health risks of obesity? What about those who are offended by the rebuttals? Our country has enough to debate. Christmas, 4th of July, Thanksgiving, Easter, and other displays should not be just another subject for argument. As a church, we stand behind the American Legion's right to display the three angels. Whether a person chooses to celebrate Christmas as a historical event of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as a day of tradition based on the legend, or a day to exchange gifts, is a choice that belongs to that individual. We thank you for what you have done so far, and we hope you continue to defend Christmas. Thank you.